That's pretty helpful right there. I'm ready. Ready to be relaxed and, blessed. Hello, hello this morning. Great seeing you as you're prioritizing your day of rest, right? We were talking about last week. So thank you for coming on Sunday morning for worship and rest in the Lord. Would you join me in declaring our underlying purpose of our church? So what do? We love God and we love others. And what do we say? I love God and I love you. Welcome back to our rest series. Last week, we looked at the importance of physical rest as commanded by God. We were reminded to set a whole day aside, like seriously an entire day, the Lord's apostrophe S day, like the possession of the Lord's day, as holy to the Lord, especially to physically rest, and then to create space to really meet with God. And today, we're going to get really specific about one aspect of rest, and we'll be looking today solely at the aspect of our soul's rest in the Lord. So a moment about our souls. Your soul is the inner you. It's the real you. It's where the supernatural, non-material essence is located. It's the essence of who you are, really who you are. If you lose a finger, it's okay, because you'll still be you. If you lost some brain cells due to some poor choices in the 90s, that's okay, you're still you. But your soul is the thing that has to be complete to be the real you. Thomas More, in his book, Care of the Soul, he writes this: the greatest malady of our time, implicated in all of our troubles and affecting us individually and socially, is loss of soul. When soul is neglected, it doesn't just go away. It appears symptomatically in obsessions and addictions and violence and loss of meaning. Now, this book is 30 years old, but it couldn't be more true today. Add smartphones and social media, and you get a recipe for burdened, overwhelmed, frustrated, lost souls. And when we don't care for our soul, it affects every other aspect of our life. Relationships, it affects our health, our sense of well-being and purpose. When we ignore our soul, no matter how good our life might be going on the outside, it's rotting from the inside. And sooner or later, it will collapse. The burdens of life will become too great to bear. The weariness becomes too overwhelming to ignore, and we begin leading lives of quiet desperation. It's inevitable when we neglect the soul. Ugh, what a downer, Pastor Sam. I'm like, oh, the worst intro ever. But there's great news. Dare I say good news? Because Jesus says this. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 11. Here's the words of Jesus. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's he say? Come to me. This is not a call to an idea or a philosophy or a religious text. It's a call to a very real person, the person of Jesus. He says, come to me. It's personal and intimate and it's direct. And this statement travels through all of the universe and it speaks through all of time and it speaks directly to you this morning. When he says, come to me, he is talking to you. You singular, you individually, you right here this morning. He's saying to you, come to me right now. Jesus directed his call to all who are burdened, who called those who sensed they had to come, they knew something was amiss in their soul, that there was something that wasn't quite right inside. The burdens are piling up, and instead of just continuing to think that you can handle it on your own and that you can fix it yourself, you come to this place where you say, I can't do these things. And that's when Jesus says, well, come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and burdened. Weary means tired from hard toil, and burden means loaded down. Weary implies the burdens that we take upon ourselves, and burden implies the weight that others put on us. The pressure to not rest, the elusive nature of actual rest come from these two sources. They come internally and externally. Internally, the burdens that we put on ourselves, sins that we allow in our life. Got rid of most of them, but there's still some that we're okay with letting them stay. Worries that we indulge in, even though God tells us not to worry. Desires for perfection, even though perfection is only in Jesus. Comparing ourselves to others around us. Living for the approval of people who don't even matter. The list is really long about internal pressures we put on ourselves. But it's not the only list. There's also another list, external burdens that come upon us. Burdens that come from without that weigh on our soul. Family drama. Pressure from others' expectations and demands that are outside of ourselves. Expectations from your teachers, if you're a student, and from your parents in regard to school. Pressure, if you're a student, from your peers. If you're not a student, you're working. Work pressure and conformity to the work system and the moving up and the keeping up with the Joneses. And then it's huge. There's like world calamity. You look around and there's wars and there's craziness. And it's not just big, it's really small. There's spousal calamity. Burdened is the world telling you to be your own God. It's the world demanding that you be something more. It's the world telling you to be your own savior. All these cause rest to flee and weary and burden to become your lived reality. But there's an alternative. There's an alternative for those people who are strong enough to not be strong, but to be humble and to say, Jesus, I'm strong enough to know that I can't do this. This weight is too big. My wife and I have been going to the gym a little bit, like just a little bit, two times a week for the last 4 months. There's people, they go in there. You know, I never went to the gym my whole life. I know you probably couldn't tell that, but I have never been to the gym my whole life. I go in, there are dudes and girls that are, like, they put lots of big, heavy round things, you know, lifting big weights. Can't do that. No chance. I'm a realist. I'm manly. I feel a little intimidated, but I get that 30 bar off there. It says big 30, so everyone knows that you pull that one off. I'm doing this, you know, yeah. There's a girl beside me cranking out, like, plates on the side, you know, whatever she's doing. I'm strong enough to know I'm not strong enough for that. For those of you that are strong enough to know that you can't handle it on your own, Jesus offers a solution. But it's for only those who know that they can't do it on their own. His solution is, he says, I'll give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Rest, literally defined as to cease. But that one's not my favorite. The next one's even way better. It's to refresh. That's what rest means. You know what my next best favorite is? This one's really powerful. It's a peaceful pause. That's what rest is. Oh, man, that sounds wonderful. If your soul could just have a peaceful pause just for a minute, you know? That's what Jesus is offering, a rest. In him, you can find your inner rest for your soul, restoring hope and meaning and purpose in life. He calls you to live in a way that will maintain relationship with him. And that will renew and restore your life. Jesus is talking about two types of promised rest as he's talking about this. One is the rest that is brought about when your sins are forgiven from your soul. Your soul is weighed down by sin. And the Bible is pretty clear about this all throughout, that sin is this brokenness in life. And that's why you can't operate in peak performance, because it's broken and sin is broken. And Jesus offers peace in the middle of that brokenness. He offers rest from that soul's sin. But he also offers another kind of rest. The other is the ease of the soul in the purpose and the provision and the presence of Christ of every believer's life. First, salvation is our soul's rest. That's our first one. Jesus is offering relief from your sins. That's our soul's primary burden. The ultimate soul rest is salvation in Jesus. It's saying, like, I cannot do these things. I cannot lift this. I cannot reach to heaven. I cannot make it. I am not good enough. And I'm strong enough to admit that. When I met Jesus, I gave him my life kneeling at the edge of my bed. Many of you know this story. My friend had given me a pair of shoes and told me, God will take care of you and so will your friends. And And that was this moment, this watershed moment that broke my life of self-sufficiency and trying to do it my own. Put that box of shoes on my bed, knelt down, and I asked Jesus to become my Lord and Savior. And I was overwhelmed in that moment with his goodness. In that moment, all of the burdens that I had had in my life disappeared. The pain, the past, my sin, my brokenness, it was all taken away. And in its place was peace and rest. The offer that he had given was genuine. It came to fruition. When I turned my life to him, everything changed and it was mind-blowing. And that offer is available to every single one of you, every single one of us. The offer for Jesus to save your soul, that's the first movement of rest. You will never have peace. You will never have soul rest until you first come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, today's a great day to do it. All you got to do is just say, Jesus, I'm hearing this. I can't do it. I need you. Make you my Lord and Savior. It's not a magic prayer. It's a confession of your real heart. Do it today. The next thing that Jesus offers, it's critical because Jesus offers soul rest not just as a one-time deal, but he offers soul rest for all of us as believers all of the days of our life, not just my day kneeling by my bed in 1991. But in 2024, this Sunday morning, he offers soul rest to you and I. Here's what he says. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The second promised rest is a special supernatural provision of rest for our souls as we navigate the remaining time that we have on earth. The first is for eternal provision of our souls. The second is for temporal provision for our souls. First, when you do an action, come to Jesus, and you receive a special peace and refreshment found in Christ. The second one, you take his yoke and learn from him, and he provides rest for your soul. Now, a yoke, by definition, is a wooden cross piece that's fastened over the necks of two animals, usually ox. It's attached to a plow or a cart so that they're able to pull. And so the wooden cross piece helps the two animals pull together. You will get tired in life. Your soul will be tired if you're yoked wrong. What are you currently yoked to? Are you yoked to living for yourself? That's the wrong yoke, mate. Are you yoked to living for your kids? That's the wrong yoke, mate. Are you yoked to living to please the world? Wrong yoke, mate. Are you wed to your work? Wrong yoke, mate. You get the idea. Jesus is the yoke mate that you need, pulling together with him in his direction, with his strength, and then you will be well in your soul. Outside of it, you're not going to be. You will be mismatched yoked. It will never be satisfying in your soul if you're wed to anyone else other than Jesus. If there's anyone else in this you're pulling along in that other slot, other than Jesus, there will never be rest in your daily soul. You'll have moments of respite, two or three drinks in. You'll have moments of respite when you do an exciting roller coaster. But for true soul rest, you got to have the right person yoked next to you. We're all yoked to something. And the really crazy part is you get to choose. You have the opportunity to choose who or what you want to be yoked to. Jesus offers the only alternative that will be successful to find soul rest. It's only in Jesus that you will find soul rest. All the others, and they've been tried throughout all of human history. Drugs and money and success and fame, and girls or guys, or fill in the blank. They've all been tried, and every one of them never leads to soul rest. It's only found in connection with Jesus. And so he gives us this wonderful offer, inviting us today, the salvation part, anytime. But today, as believers, he says, hey, has something else slipped in there? Like, remember when we were together and then you sort of kicked me out and now your job's there? We were together and now something else is there? Golf. I don't know what you put in there. Maybe it's time to say, hey, whatever's, get out of here. Just get back in here. Help me out, you know? I'm drowning here. We've got to become his disciples to learn and train under him, to be guided by his yoke. When we come to Jesus, we learn from him and we come yoked to him. He pulls with us. Most often, Jesus is not going to take away the difficulty. Rather, he's going to come next to us and pull the burden for us. The troubles don't just disappear, but your soul can find rest because you're not dealing with the troubles alone. Your soul can find rest because the burden isn't on your shoulders alone. It's on Jesus' shoulders. And he pulls our burdens with us, and he does it in a really cool way. He says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. Jesus revealed his nature as he described himself as gentle and humble. It's a servant's heart. It was displayed in all of his ministry, making him qualified to be the one who bears our burden. You can't bear a burden unless you lower yourself under it to pick it up. And Jesus says, that's what I do. I lowered myself so that I could pick up your burden. Arrogance has no interest in helping. Jesus is humble, and he lowers himself to come alongside you and I to help us, to get yoked to you. This is ridiculous, that the God of the universe, that I'll come down, I will lower myself so that I can come next to you? Who's the mismatch here? It's like we're going to play two-on-two tournament, and I'm the captain, and I'm picking. I'm like, I guess I'll take you, LeBron James. Like, if I have to have you on my team. Like, that's not it, right? Like, that's not the mismatch. He's not the, like, I guess I'll take you. I guess I'll take you, right? Like, that's the Jesus. Jesus comes down. It's not like, I guess you can come alongside me, Jesus. You gotta be like, no, Jesus, thanks. You can come alongside me. Together, we're gonna win. We're not gonna win that tournament because of me. Why are we going to win the JRC tournament, me and LeBron James? We're going to win because of me? No, we're going to win because of him. You're not going to find soul rest because you're humble and gentle, because you're so good, because you're this. You find it because Jesus is going to be yoked to you. You're like, dude, we're winning. We're winning. Because Jesus will take you and your burdens, and he'll carry them with you. He says, this is what you get. When you do that, you will find rest for your soul. That's the last part of our verse here. When you do that, you will find rest for your soul. What would you do for rest? Just quite honestly, I made eye contact with Freddie. That was his bad. I know Freddie works his butt off. Freddie, what would you do for rest? Like real, lasting rest. Oh, man, right? Internal peace. Weariness is a result of our man-made efforts to reach the Father. Weariness due to wrong yoking. Weariness and burdens from my own failures and the world's pressure. So what's rest for the soul? It's freedom from all of those things. It's whatever those things were the weight, the rest is the freedom of those things. Freedom from the burden of sin. Freedom from the burden of strife. Freedom from the burden of self-saving, of living up to everyone else's expectation. Freedom from the burden of judgment of others. Freedom from the burden of trying to be in control of my own emotions. Freedom from all those things that weigh me down. That's what soul peace is. It isn't something nebulous or intangible. It's that in Jesus you have freedom away from those things. They no longer have power. They have weight, but you're not carrying the weight. Jesus is carrying the weight. And so it's like he's carrying it up here, and I'm helping, but I'm under here. I'm free. He's got all the weight. Jesus invites us to rest. So are you in a tight spot? Come to me, Jesus says. Are you overwhelmed in your life? Come to me. Do you have two toddlers? Jesus says, come to me. You feel like, why shaking babies a thing? Come to me. Your kids moved out and you're like, what's my meaning now? Jesus says, come to me. Is your marriage frustrating and failing? Jesus says, come to me. Are your relationships with your friends and those around you, are they causing you stress? Are they in distress? Jesus says, come to me. Are your parents pressuring you and pushing you past your limit, kids? Don't scream at them. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus' invitation is for your soul to find rest. Stop trying to fix it yourself. That's what we all do. Got a problem, I got a burden, I got a weary, I'll fix it. But Jesus is saying, you're wrong, you're not going to fix it. Trust, ask every old person in the church how well they fixed their own life. They didn't. It's only through Jesus that anything gets fixed. We just mess it up. If you want fixing, don't do it yourself. Come to Jesus. It's not my words, it's his words. A soul at rest isn't a mind at rest. A soul at rest isn't a good deeds at rest. It's a metaphysical reality that comes when we're yoked with Jesus, learning under him and allowing him to carry our burdens. Jesus describes his gift to his followers as rest for your soul. This unmatchable gift, both powerful and profound, should be considered the birthright of every Christian. So when I become a believer, I am born again, and my birthright is that I can navigate this life in peace. If you're not experiencing that, then something's wrong. Not wrong with you and not wrong with God, but there's a disconnect. If you're not experiencing, as a believer, soul peace today, then something's out of line. And I bet it's not LeBron James. I bet it's not God. I bet it's me trying to do things my way, trying to ignore God. We're going to end with this really powerful, beautiful psalm. It's Psalm 62, just two verses of it, which echoes this, what we've been talking about this morning. It says, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. God alone causes the calmness that is unshakable even in the midst of trouble. He's the source of our rest because he's the place of our hope, of our salvation, and our security. Hope has to do with purpose and meaning, and only in God can we truly have value and meaning in life. We're going to see a little bit more about that next week. Only in him can our soul find purpose, and when it does, we'll find rest. Hope and purpose will make it so that circumstances don't matter, setbacks don't discourage, and tragedy doesn't triumph. Get yoked with Jesus, and you'll find your purpose, you'll find your hope, and you'll find your soul's rest. Would you join me this morning and just pray for yourself? Right now, we're totally self-centered, just you and the Lord. I want you to pray for your own soul's rest. Open your heart to Jesus and his leading. Yield to his leanings and be filled with the Spirit so that your soul can truly rest. He's calling out to you today. Come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Come to me. I invite you to do that in your own words right now.